opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who have supported me through this journey. Today, recently I've been reading a lot about customer-obsessed leader, and I thought I'd love to talk about this on a podcast, as it was just very interesting to me. So I invited on somebody that I think fits the bill to discuss this conversation with me, and her name is Susie Sirota. Now, Susie loves helping and transforming organizations, being more customer-centric, revamping processes to streamline and reduce turnaround, and use automation to reduce manual tasks, building relationships, and increasing customer loyalty while also helping her team be successful. With her wealth of experience in hospitality, she brings a unique perspective to the table, helping customers harness their power and exceptional customer service, effective communication, and innovative strategies to turn setbacks into stepping stones for building long-lasting customer relationships. Susie is one of those people. She's one of the nicest people that I have met, very intelligent, and just a super person to talk to. So I just thought that this would be a great person to have on, not just for her knowledge in this topic, but also her overall great personality. Welcome to the show, Susie. It's so great to have you on today.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is actually my first official podcast. So thank you for that.
Well, congratulations, and thank you so much for choosing my podcast to be your first. I am truly honored.
Thank you.
How are things with you? What's new with you? What's going on? What's all going on in your world?
I'm currently down in West Palm Beach, and I'm working on a consulting project right now through North Highland with Cox Automotive. I'm really enjoying that while I look for my next full-time opportunity.
Great. And the weather is nice out there?
The weather is always nice down in South Florida. Although I do have a pot of chili that I've got cooking for later on, because, it's still fall, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, that sounds like a great meal. It's one of, I'm sure, it's a lot of people's favorite meals. I can tell you it's mine as well. I like to have chili with a nice side of here in Canada we call it a baguette, which is kind of like a small thin loaf of bread. Yeah. And I just kind of slice that up with the chili and have some bread, a little bit of butter on bread, and I think that fits, those two go together very well.
The perfect meal on a fall night, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm glad to hear that everything is going well with you. I'm glad that you're enjoying your weather. I'm glad that the project is going pretty good as well. And I'm glad to hear that you are enjoying yourself out there for sure. Before we begin, I always have a fun question to ask my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours?
Okay, I think so. Ready or not, I guess here it comes, right?
So my question to you is kind of a fun one. Okay. What I'd like to know is, name a time that you were scared so bad that you jumped out of your skin.
Oh, I don't usually scare very easily, but a few years back I was into off-roading, trail riding with my Jeep.
Right.
And we had a group of friends that we would always, there was about six different Jeeps where we would go trail riding. In the Blue Ridge Mountains, and there was one particular time where it had been raining all weekend, and this particular trail was very slick and just straight down, and I think I was the third Jeep going down, and everybody was like, Susie, there's nothing you can do. It's slick. Just hold on and just steer, because that's all you can do. Because it's just going to take you straight down. And it was a huge adrenaline rush, but I was just so scared I was going to run into a tree. But it all came out well. I survived it. I'm here.
It sounds like you survived it, for sure. So you were driving down, and it was very slick, and you managed that. You didn't hit anything.
Because it's just it was so slick that you couldn't. If you hit your brakes, right, it would just steer you in the wrong way, or your brakes would lock up, and then you couldn't do anything. So yeah, it was a fun wee ride all the way down.
So it's one of those fun driving moments where you were like, yeah, thank you for getting me out of that.
Yes.
Well, thanks for having fun with me with that one. I enjoyed your answer, and I enjoyed the story. I thought that was pretty cool. I love hearing stories about off-roading as well. I think that's pretty cool and a lot of fun to do for sure. So why don't we start off today with you telling us a little bit about you and your story?
Okay. So, and I'm assuming we're talking professional leadership, right?
You can go as far as you want to go, as far as leadership, as far as you, whatever you're comfortable telling us, we're all ears.
So my dad was career Army. So I've grown up. I was born in Heidelberg, Germany, and I've grown up living all over the world. I kind of grew up in Europe. My dad always had international stations, and so I kind of grew up in Europe. Born in Germany, we lived in Spain, Italy. My mother's actually Spain. From Spain, she's Spanish. We lived in Japan for a short period of time. So I've always loved travel. Travel has always been a part of who I am. Meeting different cultures, interacting with different people. So it led me to a hospitality career, and that's where I kind of started, because I love to travel. One day when I get to the pearly gates, I'd love to say I've seen the world, which is a huge task in itself. But I did travel industry for a while, you know, corporate travel agencies, and then I went into the hotel sector of hospitality, and I worked for Starwood Hotels, then I worked for IHG, and that was probably one of my favorite roles at IHG, was leading a global team that had about 125 within my organization that were in Mexico, China, Manila, the Philippines, and in Portugal, that managed my languages for the European countries. And so I really, really enjoyed leading a support team, really kind of, you know, helping the our teams be more customer-centric, supporting the customer, supporting our accounts. Obviously through the COVID, you know, which impacted many people's careers, it obviously impacted hospitality. And so I got impacted in that role in 2020. And so then I decided to kind of pivot and go into different sector, you know, using my skills that are highly transferable. And so I did some other different support organizations, building that, going into more of a customer success, customer support area. But yeah, it's been a very squiggly career journey, as I like to say.
It sounds very interesting for sure. First off, I love the fact that you, traveled, or you had the opportunity to travel a lot. I think that's awesome. And I love the fact that you've seen a lot of the different parts of the world. The other part I kind of find that's kind of cool is you're leading teams in different cities. So I imagine that the time zones must have been something that you had to work with as well, because obviously, you know, those different places had different time zones. So imagine that must have been something you had to work with as well.
Yeah, no, you definitely have to flex with that. You know, one of the things I noticed with some of my colleagues, right, is that they would have calls with our international teams, and they always had them flex. And my thing was, I would always flex for my teams, because it wasn't, you know, it wouldn't be right for them to always having to be flexing for my time zone. And so, you know, when I would have one-on-ones with them, I would have it, you know, we would flex and try to be on their time zone.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting for sure. Well, I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And that's pretty cool. Like I said, you're traveling and dealing with different people, and I imagine, you know, different cultures. It's pretty cool. So what I'd like to know is, what does it mean to be a customer-obsessed leader?
So for me, customer service and support, you know, because at the end of the day, every business has issues, right? We all have challenges, but it's how you react to those challenges that's going to really determine your success as a company, as an organization. So for me, that customer interaction and their experience with my company, with my teams, with my products is very important. But you have to take a step back, right? In order to be really service your customer, you need to also be serving your teams and your employees. So to me, a company's best resource, most important resource is your employees, right? So if you treat your employees right and they feel safe and they feel appreciated, they in turn will do the same for your customers and they're going to give your customers a better experience. So for me, being a customer-obsessed leader starts with my team, right? And how I interact with them. And then I help them then create that loyalty and that relationship with my customers, with our customers.
I love that. I love that what you just said there. I think that's so on point. I believe that when, you know, a customer can hear, even if they're just talking over the phone, just the tone in their voice, and, you know, depending on if, you know, either the passion or the frustration, you can just always hear that tone in a person's voice. And I think the customers notice that as well. And there's nothing like getting off the phone and as a customer and talking to a company and saying, wow, you know, what a great call. That company took care of me and they did everything that they needed. And they just sounded like they were so excited and so happy to talking to me and to helping me out and with my needs. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Yep. You definitely want to make it so that, you know, obviously when you're doing a customer support organization, a customer success, right, your customer is at the center of it and you need to, you know, help, you know, there's a saying of the customer is always right. Well, there are many times when the customer is not right, right? And so, and it's how you handle those interactions so that the customer feels good about it, your employee feels good about it, and that you get to a resolution. And so I think that's the important part. And there's going to be challenges, and it's how you react to that. How do you support that customer? That's going to make a huge difference on how loyal that customer then becomes.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think the listening to the customer, I mean, obviously we're going to have customers that are unhappy and stuff like that at times. So I think having the ability, and not just as a leader, but also as far as your team, is being able to have the ability to listen with pause so that they are not, they're not being ignored, making sure that they, that their, what their needs are being met as well.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So I see that you've led remote teams globally during COVID. How has that changed?
Yeah. So, you know, the interesting thing, right, because I was sharing, I had, you know, teams in China, the Philippines, Mexico, and Portugal. And most teams, three of the teams I would only see really once a year. And one of the teams maybe four times a year. And so you really have to optimize because you don't have the quantity. So you have to really optimize that quality. Although I have to say that the tools we have now that came out of, you know, everybody was sent home, right? I mean, so I've actually had remote teams and working remotely with my teams pre-COVID, right? But during COVID, everybody went remote. And so we had these tools developed. So now, you know, having the ability to have these video tools and everything, you can interact with your teams. You can actually see them face to face. When we have team meetings, you know, and I've got somebody from China on the call and the Philippines and Mexico, and then we're all looking at each other, right? It's like we're sitting in a room, but we're not. We're actually all in our own individual offices. And so there's definitely challenges, obviously, leading a remote team. You don't have the visibility, but that's where you have to, again, build that relationship with your team, build that trust with them, have them feel safe to where they can come to you with anything, right? And really develop those relationships. And that's really, to me, at the heart of being able to lead remotely is having a good relationship with your teams, to where they feel comfortable coming to you. And so you're not having to find out about something afterwards, right? Because you're not there in the office to see them. But yeah, to me, it's perfect, you know, because it's, especially, you know, when I think of some of my team members in different locations, they would have to commute, some of them, an hour, hour and a half. I had a couple people that where they were lived in the province in the Philippines, and it would take them 3 hours to get into work, 3 hours each way and 3 hours back. Now that's determination to get to your job. And having them have the ability to work from home and just that, that better quality of life they're going to have, right? And so to me, I'm a huge proponent of remote working because it works. And I've shown it works leading teams that aren't even in the same time zone.
Great. No, I love that. I totally agree with you. I think you mentioned having trust. I think if you are a good communicator and you're communicating everything, I think you're building trust as well. And I also am a huge proponent on rapport building. So it sounds like you were able to build rapport with your teams. And I think that's super important because, like you said, they were driving or commuting long distance or hours to get to work. So if they didn't enjoy it or if they didn't enjoy working for a company and working under you, which is what a lot of people do when, you know, look at making changes, they either look at the organization, they're making a change because of the organization or they're making a change a lot of times because of their leader. So it sounds to me like you developed rapport with your employees, and that's why they stuck around.
Yeah, communication is key, right? And as I said, I didn't get to see them very often, so I always took the time to, you know, we would have team buildings. My largest team was in Manila in the Philippines, and I would try to do skip levels there. And, well, I would actually sit with every single person, might not be able to spend an hour with them, but 15 minutes, you know, in between calls and everything. So it's a great way for them to feel comfortable with me as their leader.
Yeah, that's super awesome. And they're going to remember that. And even if they moved on, I feel like they are going to remember you and remember how you treated them. And they will say, oh, I remember working for, you know, when I worked with Susie, this is how I was treated. And then they can kind of make comparisons, right? So if they're not being treated as, you know, that same way, they know exactly what worked for them and how they were treated. So if they were put into another situation where they were not treated the same way, they, you know, then they can do what they needed to do. But it was, they knew exactly what type of work life atmosphere and environment they were looking for. And it sounds like you brought it.
Yep, exactly.
So what are some of the dangers of leading remote global teams?
I think some of the challenges you're going to have when you lead a remote team is if you don't have that trust, right? And you don't have that relationship. And also from an organization perspective, if you don't have tools in place to measure the work that someone is doing as well, too, because you're not there in the same office with them, so you can't see what they're doing. So you have to have tools in place that help you evaluate and understand how you can help lead and develop them. Because again, as a leader, our role is to help develop them into the best person they can be. And so having tools in place where, you know, if I'm not there sitting next to them, I can't hear the calls they're making, but can I go back and listen to calls, right? So I can then help coach them on how they could have done it better, right? And so I think from a organization perspective, it's really important to have those tools. And if you don't have those tools in place, develop some kind of process that you can help measure and help understand what your teams are doing so you can help them.
And what we were talking about before as far as trust and respect, what I think is important too as well, which just sounds like what you did, is that you, when you are listening to a call and you were giving them feedback, you built, again, rapport and trust with those with your employees or your team members. So when you were giving them feedback, they were more than willing to hear their feedback and try to put that feedback towards their next calls or what they were doing. Because you were so open and honest and communicative with them and building rapport, and you mentioned spending a few minutes with them just to kind of get to know them, I think they felt that comfort level, and they were willing to, they were open to feedback more rather than having a negative or having somebody shoot them down all the time or put them down. Sounds like you had a great rapport with them for sure.
Yeah, it's all about building those relationships, right? And helping them. I think if you never have a one-on-one with your team members, then how are you going to lead them, right? You need to be helping to understand what their dreams are, what they want to do, have an opportunity for them to share with you as well. But that's where you build that trust, right? It's in those conversations. It's in letting them open up to you so that then when you have a challenge, right, where you have to give them that hard feedback, they're going to know it's coming from a place that you're trying to help them grow.
Right. And you just mentioned grow. It's all about helping them with growth. So, I mean, if there's somebody on your team that wants to grow within a company and they want to move up or what have you, not everybody does. Not every employee wants to do that. But the ones that they're there to get the feedback from you, and they're open to suggestions as far as how getting the help to get there for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, if you could choose one word to describe yourself, what word would that be?
Gosh, one word. I would probably say passionate. I'm passionate about my teams. I'm passionate about the work that I do. I'm, passionate about supporting our customers. If I'm giving a project to do, I'm passionate about making sure it gets done. I would probably say passionate. I mean, there's lots of different words that could come to mind, but yeah.
Passionate is a good one. I think it sounds like you are passionate from my conversations with you and listening to you this morning talking about what you did and how you worked with your teams. It sounds like you I would agree with you that passionate does fit the bill. And I think it's a perfect word for you.
Yeah, I've been so fortunate to have some amazing teams report into me, and I was always passionate about helping them grow and develop, and there's nothing makes me feel better than seeing those team members succeed and grow in their careers and know that I had a little bit of help in helping them get there.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts today?
I can't think of any. I really appreciate this. Got that first podcast out of the way. Thank you for making me feel comfortable, Andrew, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, I have to say, thank you so much for coming on. You mentioned earlier that it was your first podcast, so I'm going to say to you that for doing your first podcast, Susie, I think you did such an amazing job. It did not sound like you've never done a podcast before. In my mind, and I feel like the listeners are going to feel the same way as well. So, and I want to thank you for taking the time to come on and tape this with me and have this conversation with me. It was an interesting topic that I wanted to look into, and I was kind of thought, well, who could I have to talk about it? And I thought of you, and I'm glad that you were able and willing to join me today to discuss it.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate it. I look forward to hearing the final product.
No problem. On behalf of myself and my guest, Susie, I'd like to thank you all for joining today. And until next time, be safe and remember that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.